just want to talk with you this morning. About 8 o'clock last night, I decided to throw out my sermon and go to bed, which is not unusual, 8:30, and wake up with a clear head and a mind that has rested, and figure out what to say this morning. So that's what I've done. And at 8 o'clock, I said, I'm not sure how long this is going to take. Well, it ended up didn't take that long, so I must be programmed somehow to 10 or 12 minutes, so it's about the same length of time. But I threw the sermon out because I'm of the opinion, as you know, that the church needs to be relevant and needs to be speaking about the things that are going on in our life right now. And that's what I'm going to do, just visit with you about that. And it's not easy for a preacher just to throw out a sermon that you've been working on all week and start over on Sunday morning, but you know, this is what we're going to get. And so it's just a visit with you. Now, what I'm going to say is not going to please everyone, but you know, the person that tries to please everyone loses their integrity immediately. And eventually, if that person is a leader, he will have no followers because he stands for nothing. And people don't want to follow somebody that stands for nothing. So I stand for Jesus Christ and for God and for the gospel as I understand it and Jesus Christ as I understand his life. And that's what I'm going to share with you. I want to please God, quite frankly. That's what I'm hopeful of. And so I know, in fact, I already know I don't please everyone because just in the last 10 days alone on social media, someone complained about me for taking a stand on something they disagreed with. And then wouldn't you know, then just shortly after that, I was accused of hiding behind the pulpit and being afraid to say anything. You know, I'm quite insignificant in the country and the world. I mean, nobody knows who I am. So TV and cameras and newspapers don't follow me around, record everything I say and do. I don't tweet, so you don't know where I go all the time. I don't load up on Facebook with all my whereabouts. So really, nobody knows for sure who I meet with and what groups I talk to and what I say. And I guess it's making up stuff because they don't know. We'd call it false news these days, wouldn't we? So, but what I want to talk to you about is, I want to be real clear, is I condemn the ban on refugees and immigrants. Real clear about that. Now, I'm not alone in that, by the way. I don't know all of those institutions, but let me just name a few. Episcopal Church condemns it. Methodist Church, Presbyterian Church, Disciples of Christ, United Church of Christ, Reformed Church. Let's see. Who have I left out? Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, thank you, has issued a statement condemning it. And within these large institutions, literally hundreds of subunits have issued statements of condemnation on that, including many within the Episcopal Church. The Church of Latter-day Saints, this may surprise you, at least three evangelical organizations, one of which is Focus on the Family, probably the most conservative. Now, to be fair to them, they didn't condemn specifically this act, but issued a statement of pro-immigration. The Baptist Church, I don't know which Baptist church, but a Baptist, the Catholic bishops of the United States, and Pope Francis, he's been very direct. If you want to Google and see what he has to say about this, you would be perhaps taken aback by some of the directness of his approach on this. I'm betting today there'll be thousands more of these kinds of statements. the Muslim community in the United States, and our friends the Jews, dozens and dozens of entities within the Jewish community have condemned this ban, even including Reform Judaism, the parent group of our friends at Congregation House. So just about the entirety of the Christian community in this country, and just about the entirety of the faith community in this country. And if that's the case, we probably ought to pay attention to this. At least listen to it and give some thought to this. So I tell you, this is a broad group of religious people. Broad. When you put together Episcopalians and Evangelicals and Catholics and Lutherans and Reform and Mormons and Jews, this is a sizable group of people. Now, one then might ask, well, why is it? I can't talk about the Jews and the Muslims because I don't know enough to talk about, but I can talk about Christianity. Why is it that nearly the entire Christian community in this country condemn this? Why? Well, here's my answer to why. This is all me talking. It's what Jesus taught. What Jesus said. Well, the Bible is so full of this that really, I'm just going to pick and choose. I was hungry. You gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. And you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you gave me clothes. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. When, Lord, when? Even as you did it to the hordes of masses, the least of these, that's when. That was me. Come to me, all you who travail, who are worried, heavy laden with the cares of the world. Come to me, all of you, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you, because it is easy and it is light. This time we're the absolute, along with Gentiles, the scourge of the earth. Outcasts, not allowed inside the community because they were unclean, not wanted, not needed, not cared for or about. And one came to Jesus and said, you can make me clean and allow me back in the community if you choose. I do choose. Touched him and allowed him to be a full participant in the community. The Samaritans in Jesus' time were hated. Hated. In fact, Jews were told, don't even go into their neighborhood. Walk around them. I don't care how long it takes. Don't go there. We have no dealings with them. Well, Jesus went there. He met a woman at the well there. And she was no saint, as it were. She had five husbands already and was living with another man. And Jesus said, you and all the Samaritans are welcome in the kingdom of God. You and every one of you are welcome. And then, ironically, he went to Tyre and Sidon, which was Syria. Went to Syria. And met a woman there whose daughter was sick. And he had a conversation with her and he said, I will heal your daughter. Even you are part of the kingdom of God. Even you or all of you are welcome. And then we had the gospel that Sarah read. The Beatitudes, I mean, Jesus turned the world upside down and inside out. You know, in his day and in our day, blessed are the rich. Blessed are the powerful. Blessed are the strong. Blessed, talking about me and you, right? Blessed are us who live in big houses, drive nice cars. Well, I drive a lousy truck, but blessed are we. That's what, and that would be what people expected him to say, but that's not what he said. In fact, there are actually two sets of Beatitudes in the Bible, one in Luke and the one that we read today from Matthew. And biblical scholars have argued for all these many centuries about, well, did Luke change the one that Matthew wrote, or did Matthew change the one that Luke wrote? Who? You know, I think Jesus said them both, actually. The one in Luke says simply this: blessed are you that are poor. Blessed are you that are hungry. Not poor in spirit, not hunger and thirst for righteousness, but blessed are you that are poor. Blessed are you that are hungry. Blessed are you that are thirsty. Blessed are you that weep. And I think in order to make sense of that and to minister to those folks, Jesus offered the ones we read today. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And what he means by that, I believe, is blessed are those who realize it is by the power and the grace of God that they are able to help the poor, the hungry, the thirsty, and those who are beaten down by the cares of the world and the oppressors, those who weep. Blessed are those who mourn. Now, Jesus is not saying, boy, it's a great thing to be sad. That's not what that means at all, of course. Blessed are those who see the world and its injustice and are torn apart. Blessed are those who see a baby washed up on the shore of the sea and it tears their heart up. Blessed are those who see the child from Aleppo sitting in an ambulance, beaten up and dirty and in shock, and it hurts. Blessed are those who have mercy, who cry about that. Blessed are the meek, the most misunderstood of all. I mean, Jesus doesn't call people to be pushed around and beat up and no, it's about humility. Blessed are those who live with humility, who don't need to be the biggest, the best, the strongest at all times and in all places, but are willing to admit they're just another regular person. And you can be humble and get a lot of things done. You can be decisive and be humble. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for what is right. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst to make things right for the poor, the hungry, the thirsty, and those who are weeping because their life is so torn apart. Blessed are the pure in heart. What Jesus means by that is blessed are those who have some character about them. Blessed are those whose moral compass is pointing toward true north. I mean, what we're like as human beings, as followers of Jesus, matters. What we're like in this world matters. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who have compassion on the poor, the hungry, the thirsty, the oppressed who are weeping. Jesus turned the world upside down and inside out with these words and his life. The lesson we read from Corinthians this morning, Paul said, this is foolishness. This is foolishness to those who don't believe. Foolishness. But God's foolishness has more wisdom than all the wisdom in the world. This is weakness, Paul said. But God's weakness is stronger than the greatest strength of those who don't believe. Jesus said, the door is very narrow that leads down this path. The door over here that leads away from Christ is wide. The path is broad and easy to head down. said, my followers live in the world but are different from the world. They walk through the narrow door, down the narrow path that is not easy. That's why I said, take up your cross and follow me. Which door will we walk through? Which path will we follow?